it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition, and it's good to see a few people, a few familiar names in the chat room. Wacky, Fireman Mike, Antiquity, Carrie Ann, Dude, and WW in Oregon, huh? All the way over from the other coast. Been there for a while and didn't come by and visit me. Okay, but maybe you'll get down here one of these days. Anyway, you're listening to Cross Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition. And during this broadcast, we're going to talk about some news items, a court case going on with the passport issue that I'm engaged in. And at least in the second hour, we're going to jump back into prophecy. And I'm going to discuss some more of my research for my book and my second chapter that I'm still working on. Book's nowhere near published or published ready yet, but it's kind of fun to discuss it and have it vetted by my listeners. So hope to get some feedback from you all. Let me see, what will I be talking about today? Yes, my second chapter. Last week we had Johnny Carucci on, and stay tuned, he sent me some programs, so we got to schedule them in, and so you have to watch out for that. I really do need an email list or something. We're working on fixing up the website, but really need to find me a professional website builder to help out there, because my plate is really full. But anyway, we'll be talking about apocalyptic terms and divine interpretation in the second hour, so you'll want to stick around for that. And if you can't stick around, well, it'll be posted there at the website, in our podcasts at firstamendmentradio.net, and also our YouTube page, or it'll be posted on my website too, crosstheborder.org. So one way or another, you'll be able to find it there. Okay, news items. Someone says, but I must be catching the sun, huh? Yeah, well, problem is, it's been like spring practically during the day. We've had no rain to speak of. We got maybe a fifth of an inch last night, but actually the hay fields out here, the alfalfa field out here, there's 100 acres of alfalfa, not alfalfa, but oat hay near me, and it's drying up and starting to burn. That's how dry it's been. So basically we're in the middle of another drought year. Carrie says, I don't hear or see anything. Gee, isn't it working on the page there? Let me see. Let me click on it. It says waiting. Well, that's weird. You know, YouTube has changed their page now, so I may be live. You may have to go to my YouTube page to fight because it doesn't. I don't know what to say. Okay, so it's not on the page. If you want to see me live on YouTube, you have to go to my Prophecy Reality YouTube page, I guess, this morning. YouTube's made things better so that I can't figure out how they work anymore. So I'm actually live, but I'm not. Don't ask me how that works, but I did everything the same as I usually do it, but now it doesn't work. This happened a month ago too. So I hate it when YouTube makes that, you know, they say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, I figured Dude says, yes, I'm watching live on the YouTube page. So, yeah, how about that? You can go to my YouTube page. If you open them, let me see. Did that work? More? Oh, I don't know how to make it work. Just if you have to find my YouTube page now. It's Prophecy Reality on YouTube. That's pitiful, isn't it? That's terrible that I can't even... YouTube fixed it, and it wasn't broken. So now it's broken. They fixed it real good. I don't know what to say. But anyway, at least you can listen. There's nothing important to see here, you know? I guess. I'm not going to be showing you any really important exhibits or anything. As a matter of fact, let's go to my email here that I was telling you about and the court case, and I got an update on that. And this is for the court case is called, where is that called? Carmichael versus Pompeo. Of course, Pompeo's Secretary of State during the Obama administration, I believe. I don't know who's the Secretary of State now or whatever, whoever the guy was. But so it's Carmichael is the guy, like me, been denied a passport. And based on nothing except somebody decided over in the State Department that we shouldn't get one. Yeah, basically, that's it. Very arbitrary. Okay, we responded to the government's motion for dismissal and alternative motion for summary judgment. We included a cross motion for summary judgment on the first cause of action, violation of 22 U.S.C., Section 2721, impermissible basis for denial of passports. Quote, a passport may not be denied issuance, revoked, restricted, or otherwise limited because of any speech, activity, belief, affiliation or non-affiliation, or membership or non-membership. In my case, it's belief or it's non-affiliation because I don't affiliate with socialists. And I'm not a card-carrying member of the Socialist Security Club, I'm not a member of it either. So card-carrying member, so they can't deny me a passport based upon it within or outside the U.S., which, if held conducted within the United States, would be protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. So that's their cause. That's my cause. So I'm joining this suit. And if anyone's interested, I can forward this email to you. All of the case files are there for you to look at. There's a link to that and to all the pertinent ones you can download. And they're already paid for, so you can get them free and look at that. So if anyone's interested in that or joining that, or and you can email me and I'll send you this, forward this email to you. You can take part in this lawsuit if you want to and contact Mr. Carmichael there. That is, what is his name here? Oh, David Allen Carmichael and his suit. So, looking forward to getting that resolved, and then maybe I can get a passport and get on a plane. Yeah, I can fly to another state if I want to. Right now I'm being denied and being kind of like held prisoner. I can't leave the country legally. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to be like an illegal alien if I wanted to go to Mexico, only I'd be going the other way. I'm not sure Mexico would be too happy about that, though, having an illegal alien from America coming there, you know. So basically, that's it. I can't leave the country legally. I guess I could get on a rowboat. Would they stop me if I got on a rowboat, like, you know, went across the ocean or something? Man, don't want to get any cruise liners these days. Okay, so anyway, there's that. That's news. So we have something progressing through the courts to counter the Obama law that denied people arbitrarily passports for not being socialists. Because the law that he passed was to wring more money out of people, because anyone who... owed the government $5,000, or was it $50,000? Some amount in back taxes were to have their passports revoked or denied. And so The State Department decided, well, anyone without a Social Security number must be in violation of the law. But the law does state that they're supposed to go off of a list of creditors that the IRS gives them. Well, I'm not on any list because I don't owe the IRS any money, you know. But they decided just across the board. Well, and not really across the board because my daughter doesn't have a Social Security number. She got her passport without one. She's 19, but she was 18. Was she 18? Yeah, she just turned 18 in 20. Well, it wasn't last year. So she was 17 going on 18. I had to sign for her passport as her parent. So I got one for her without a Social Security number, but they denied mine. Yeah. And said, well, you must owe money because you're older, I guess. They figured she didn't owe any money because she was still a minor. So arbitrarily, they decided that I must owe them money. And so I must be on the list even though I'm not. So they could deny me a passport. So that's where that's going. Not sure I have, are there any people out there in my audience? I know there's at least one that I know of personally, and that would be Michael. Michael Eugene is another man that I know that lives without a SS, a Social Security number. It's not an easy thing to do, I'll tell you. Not easy at all. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it, I guess. I mean, it was easier 30 years ago, 25 years ago, even 20 years ago it was easier. It just started getting harder after the Patriot Act, basically, because they started clamping down on anyone who doesn't comply with the show-me-your-papers mentality, you know, not willing to submit to every inquisition the government wants to lay on you. You know, that's really what it's all about. That's what your Social Security number is all about, is inquisition. You know, you must submit to the inquisition. That's right. You fill out your papers, please. Of course, now there's no law in the United States that requires anyone to apply for, obtain, or use a Social Security number. That's the truth. And so as long as that freedom exists, they may take other freedoms and liberties, immunities, and privileges away from me, but I refuse to violate God's law by participating in government-sponsored theft. That's why, because Jesus even expressly and explicitly forbade those in his kingdom from participating in that type of pseudo-benefit thing, benefactor government, governing style. Yeah. Okay, let's see, what else have we got today in the news? Coronavirus. Well, it's a pretty bad flu, I hear, that it, you know, it kills a tenth of a percent more people than other flus. So you need to really be afraid. No, really what we need to be afraid of is what the government's, you know, going to, the power that the government is going to be able to wield through this war. That's right. It's the new war on the coronavirus. Yeah, the war on the coronavirus. The show goes on, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that because it's not really my thing. But there's a lot of, go to lewrockwell.com, a lot of good articles there at Lew Rockwell. You can also go to Natural News and see what they're saying over there, because you should be ready. I mean, you need to be healthy to survive the normal flus that we go through. Some are more virulent than others, and some kill more weak people than others, you know. I mean, they're a little stronger than the common cold. You know, I've suffered a few flus in the past 5 or 10 years myself. Got a few cold bugs, you know. I usually can whip those off pretty quick, but I am getting older, you know. I say people in their 70s, 15% or whatever, they have percentage of how many people that get it in certain age groups will die from it, And you know, the older you get, the higher the greater the deal that you die from it. So, and I'm in my 60s, late 60s. So, but I'm healthy. You know, I work out every day. I eat right, and I try not to poison myself with food out there and water and stuff. All the stuff, the poison they give. I stay away from drugs. I don't do any drugs at all. As a matter of fact, when I went in for my, because I did have a new tooth put in my head, one of my upper teeth, and I got an implant when they put the implant in, they gave me some antibiotics and pain pills, and I still have every one of them. I didn't take any of them. It wasn't that bad, you know. I can live with a little pain, but because I remember the time before that, I took the antibiotics, and it really. I got, what do you call it, autoimmune reaction to the antibiotics. I decided no more antibiotics for me. Forget that stuff. I mean, I have to be pretty bad off if I'm going to take antibiotics. And if you're going to take antibiotics, take it from me. Get your enzyme supplements, get your kombucha tea, and take your acidophilus and load up after you're done. Otherwise, when you get my age or even younger, because a lot of people can suffer, anybody can suffer from autoimmune response to antibiotics. And it's a little bit scary, I'm gonna tell you. Yeah, but I dealt with it. I didn't run to the doctor because they would have poisoned me more. Yeah, because that's what they do. That's they're trained to. I mean, they're really, you know, most of them are very well-meaning people. You know, they believe what they're doing is the right thing. Because they've been trained by the, you know, in allopathic medicine, they've been trained in pharmacopoeia, whatever you want to call it, pharmacology, you know, witchcraft, the Bible calls it. That's how, uses the word witchcraft for pharmacopoeia or pharmacology or whatever. And very well-meaningly, they'll help you kill yourself, you know, by prescribing more poisons for you to take, and then you can die from polypharmacy. And I mean, I've watched a good friend of mine die because he trusted in polypharm and doctors, you know. He just used to get all these drugs every day. And I've been watching some, you know, some free TV now. They have commercials on where Amazon has this thing, Pill Pack, you know, and this woman's got all these bottles of pills. You know, and she says, I don't have to carry all these bottles of pills. Amazon Pharmacy puts in all these little packs for me, and I just carry my packs. And she's got like 10 bottles of pills. So, lady, you got a bigger problem than trying to keep your, you know, carry around too many pill bottles. You got pharmacopoeia. You're killing yourself slowly. But don't worry, when the end comes, and this is what I notice, when the end comes from someone that's overtaken by pharma, polypharmacy, it comes very quickly. I mean, everything starts to shut down, and in a week or 10 days, they're dead. Once their body starts to shut down from the, you know, the polypharmacy. And I hope that there, if there's anyone out there, and I guess you can't quit cold turkey, but you should get to talk to someone, get with some of those people for their natural news, and listen to some of them about withdrawing, you know, going yourself slowly and healthfully from these from polypharmacy or any pharmaceuticals. I mean, if you can live without it, if there's a natural way to take care of your problem, then you should do that. Yeah, because it's better to change your diet than to be dead. Because when you're dead, your diet changes. You don't have one anymore. And then you better be right with God. That's all I can say about that. And you should be right with God anyway. That's the first order of business, is to have your relate a right relationship with the Almighty Creator, and have your sins covered by His only begotten Son, so that you can enter into His kingdom forever. Okay, well, let me check the chat room, see if we have any comments, questions, anything. Let's see. Yeah, I wouldn't take any flu shots either, dude. And because actually, when you take these vaccines, they actually destroy your immunity, your immune system. They break it down. You become. And I was reading, there was one article on Lou Rockwell. Let me see, what was there? Where was that at? LouRockwell.com. And well, basically, the tenet is that more people are going to die from the corona flu virus than actually die from the flu itself. So people are going to die. People are dying all the time. Every flu season, tens of thousands of people die in America. And nobody, I mean, more people actually die in automobile accidents, or for many other reasons than will die of this flu. So there you have it. It may be a good cover up for the bubble, the economic bubble that's about to burst. Yeah. It seems to me it's got to burst sometime. Yeah. Well, it's exciting. It's not boring, I'll give you that much. The whole show there with, Dementia Joe and Donald Trump. I'll tell you that Donald Trump, he's got a lot going on. That guy, for his age, he has a lot of energy, and I don't see him falling over his words at all. But old Dementia Joe, I mean, it's amazing to me that these Democrats think they could put this guy up there and actually have any chance of winning at all. It's curious because it makes me think, maybe they don't really want this guy to be president. They're putting him up because they don't want him to be president. And maybe they want the fail to come during Donald Trump's thing, because it's just blowing my mind, the whole thing. But it's a very interesting reality TV, reality show out there. The whole thing just is way much more than I could ever even dream of, watching the scene, what's going on the public stage out there in the news, and with this coronavirus, and the, yeah, what a show, what a show, what could I say, what a show. Let's see, what else have we got? Well, dude says, so how is one made right with God? Well, that's a good question. Do you have an answer? How is run? Well, you know what? Jesus said it. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So it all starts with repentance. That's the gospel that Jesus preached. He went about preaching, and he said, and he cried out, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And, I look at it that way, this way, is that, here's my hand, and it's not that far from me. As a matter of fact, I can't separate myself from it. It's that close. Or you could say it's within your grasp. How about that one? The kingdom is at hand. It's within your grasp. It means you can enter God's kingdom now. All you have to do is repent. And repent, of course, means to change your mind, which begs the question. Jesus going around, repent, change your mind. The kingdom of God is within your grasp. It's within your reach. Change your mind. Well, what do you have to change your mind about? Well, Jesus called some men to be his disciples. And during the 3.5 years that he was walking on the earth with them, he was changing their minds, by his own word. And that's how we change our mind. We read God's word, and we seriously consider that the things that God says, that his law is right, and anything that we think contrary to it is wrong. So we have to change our mind about the way we think about God's law and ourselves, and we have to put him and his law and his kingdom first. As Jesus said, seek ye first. Make the kingdom of God first in your life. Give it first place in everything you say and do. Repent. It is at hand. Okay. We're going to come back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Beyond Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and I'm Nicholas, and we're just talking about current events and news and other things this first hour. Second hour, we're going to jump back into and discuss, what was that topic we're going to discuss? Oh, we're going to discuss apocalyptic terms and divine interpretation, more prophecy, some stuff I'm working on for the book that I'm writing right now, and coming together one chapter at a time here, probably through half of the book, still ironing out the last section on on the millennium controversy. So then once I get that through that, and plus tweak everything else, then perhaps sometime this year, perhaps this summer, we'll get it published. So covet all your prayers for that. Appreciate that. Sorry about the mess up with YouTube, but YouTube has fixed things so that I apparently can't use them anymore, or I can't work them properly anymore. But there's a link. You can open it in another tab. Then you can grab that tab and draw it somewhere else on your web desktop and resize it. Shouldn't have to do all that. It's a little window I have. Should have worked. It's just that I don't know why it doesn't work. That's crazy. So don't share that one. Yeah. It's still waiting for it to work. Crazy, man. Yes. They fixed it so it doesn't work. Good job, YouTube. Okay. Let's see. What else am I going to talk about? Let's see. In the chat room, I saw a few things. Oh, yeah. Dude says, I believe the coronavirus was unleashed under God's judgment in China because they have persecuted the Christians. Well, there may be something to that. You know, I mean, you know, nothing happens that God doesn't know about or that he didn't know was going to happen. So he can have evil actors, you know, fulfilling, you know, his purpose, and he does. It's because evil even fulfills the purpose of God. And what is the purpose of God? Well, it concerns us, you know, that all things work together for those that love God. So no matter what anyone attempts to do out there, that God is going to use it for our good. So I believe that, absolutely. That's Romans 8:28 if you're interested in that. But there's some good reading there for you, that all things, and it's a nice thing to keep in mind when you're going through trials, tribulation, when you're facing down the enemy, you realize that, hey, that enemy has no choice but to do what they're doing because they are so controlled by the devil, by Satan, by evil, that they can't stop themselves from sinning. And we all know, as being Reformed Christians, that without Christ in our life, without the Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and His imputed righteousness, we would be just as bad or even worse than the people that torment us or seek to torment us. But, I mean, you know, the worst thing they can do is, well, kill it. I guess there are things worse than death. You know, some of the torture and other things that they could put you through before they mercifully kill you. But we're not to fear them that can kill the body. There it is. But fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. Because forever is forever. And that's the important thing, is to keep our eye on the prize, as the Apostle Paul wrote to us. Okay. Says, I'm watching live on my flat screen YouTube. Yes, and it's coming in loud and clear. Thanks for that that sound and video check there. Trouble is the chat room is, I've got to have them both on the screen at the same time. That's what I'm going to have to rework things now that YouTube has reworked things, and maybe practice this week to see if I can figure out and make this thing actually work right. And not have to find out when I actually go on the air that YouTube fixed it again. Okay, what else do we got in the news bag here? I've had some things here. Any comments or questions from anyone in the chat room? Anything else? If anyone wants to call in, we actually have a phone there, number in the upper right-hand corner. You can call in. And I think that's it. I'm not sure that my, Let me check that out. Oh, see if my Skype is activated. Oh, yeah. Far Live is activated. But it's on another screen. Yeah. So I'd hate to ignore someone who tried to Skype in. So I'll just turn up the Skype. Oh, the Skype is turned up. So if you Skype in, say something to get my attention. Yeah, that's how that works. Okay, what else do we got here? Let's see, Johnny Carucci, or Cerucci. I'm still saying, spell it with a hard C. Yeah, enjoyed that last week with him. Started reading his book, Romans of Mass Destruction. Whew. Man, there's some history there for you. Hold on. Let's see. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Okay, well, I guess they're not going to say anything.
Hello?
Hello? Talk to me. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, well, I don't know what's going on there. It must be some kind of malfunction or something. Try Skyping in and then say hello. The Skype is far live. And we got about 10 to 15 minutes left. Yeah, about 15 minutes left in this broadcast before I jump into prophecy. And I would take some questions or comments, but probably should. It's kind of hard to go through all that stuff and keep my eye on the chat room. Let's see, what else? Okay, we answered your question. I hope that we got a good little bit of gospel preaching in there, dude, enough to satisfy you or anyone who needs the gospel. Get your Bible, get your King James Bible, you know, and start reading. And they're at Matthew and John and Romans, you know, or read the gospel according to Luke, and then read Luke book 2. That's the Acts of the Apostles, as it's kind of like Luke continued, you know. And then after that, you just read to the end of the book. And then when you get to the end of the book, and then you jump back to Genesis and read there. And praise when you read, you know, when you find something in there, like when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, you say, you pray and you say, God, please help me to seek first your kingdom always in all things. And you just pray the Bible as you read through it. Ask God to help you. Ask him to open your eyes to help you see what he's trying to say to you there. And, you know, so you kind of pray your way through the Bible as you're reading it. Really helps out. So that's very important. I mean, once you're in God's kingdom, you should have a hunger and a thirst for communion with God. And I don't just mean going to the church and going through the motions of taking the wafer and bread. It's nice to have communion with your fellow Christian out there, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's fun. And we should do that. But really, our best communion comes as we read through God's Word. And he speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. And we plead with Him, you know, to impute His righteousness to us. And I was listening to hear some of this pop Christian music. And there, these people were singing about that we are his righteousness. No, and I'm going, that's all wrong. We are not his righteousness. He is our righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. The righteousness, any righteousness that I have is his. It's from him. Without him, I'm nothing. I have nothing. There's nothing I can give him. But I desire to lay down my life and make it a living sacrifice because of what he did for me. Not because there's any merit in it for me. I mean, it doesn't matter what I do. I can never earn heaven. God's never going to owe me eternity because of what I've done. It's the opposite, really. I try to please him with my life. I want to work for him in his kingdom because of what he's done for me, because I love him. You know, I mean, if you love someone, you want to please them. And especially, I mean, you got a Father, a Heavenly Father, who is all good. There's no evil in him. Whatever he wants for you is the best thing for your life, and you can trust that, that there's nothing he won't take you through, that he'll allow you to go through, that he will not carry you through. And in the end, no matter what, you know, even if we have to suffer the death of martyrdom, even if it came to that, no matter what we had to suffer, what we have to go through in this life, we know at the end that he is going to raise us up. And that's the kind of faith that, you know, that he gives us. He gives us that faith too. So I would cry out for that faith. Please, you know, the just shall live by faith. Well, Father, I want to be one of those just. I want to have that saving faith. So please, you know, impart that to me. You know, give it to me. I need it so badly. I don't want to live without it. There's nothing more important. And, you know, that's our cry to a Heavenly Father that only loves us. Yes, Christ worketh in us both to will and to do of his good purpose. That's true. Absolutely. And this, you know, that's what the Reformed faith is. That's what it's all about. It's the infant faith. It's the faith that Jesus and the apostles preached and taught and wrote about in his word. Good instruction in the book of James. You know, we just have to watch ourselves because we're prone to error. And we have to know that there's nothing. It's not in us. God will never owe it to us. We can never be holier than thou. You know, we're not holier than others. We have compassion on others, looking on them and in their sin or whatever they're in, and realizing that we were there and that we want them to have the same renewing effect of the blood of Christ in their life so that they can join us forever in eternity and gain the gospel prize with us. That's how we have to handle that. So cross the border. That's why I call my ministry Cross the Border. Cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. There's nothing more important. There's no higher prize to be obtained in this life than the gospel prize. It's worth trading everything else for. You know, it's like the parable that Jesus taught about the man who found a treasure in a field, and he went and sold everything he had so that he could buy that field and obtain that treasure. Well, that's the gospel prize. You know, this life is the field, and that's the prize in it. And you're supposed to trade everything, no matter what the cost. You have to obtain that prize. There is nothing more important than that. And especially, you know, I tell my children, my grandchildren that. Because, you know, if everything goes right, you know, I'm going to go to my grave and they're going to live on. You know, that's the way it's happened throughout history. And when they die, if they miss it, if they don't gain that gospel prize, I'll never see them again. We won't be together in God's kingdom, in the eternal state forever. We won't meet for a 1,000-year reign of Christ. We'll miss that. They won't be there if they don't obtain that gospel prize. So I tell them, my own children, my own grandchildren, and hopefully whatever great-grandchildren I'm able to see before, you know, the consummation or I die or whatever happens first, or I get martyred, who knows? Let's see what happens. I don't believe we have that long before the seventh millennium, before the millennial reign of Christ, you know, about 35 years by my calculation. And you can check out my work there at my website. What year is it is the posting. So you go to crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com and check it out. You just put my name in, Nicholas Arthur, what year is it? You'll find it. A lot of people do that. I look at the search terms that people gets people to my website, so I know kind of what works. Yeah, I just put in Nicholas Arthur across the border. Even if you spell my name wrong, it'll still get you there. That's amazing. Okay, a few more minutes. I guess that if someone was trying to call me, that didn't work very well. And nobody's shouted out from Skype yet, so okay. Yep. Sorry about that YouTube thing there. Well, what else do I got? Yeah, that's kind of why I don't like to do this off-the-cuff kind of thing. I guess I could have just had more stuff to look at. But I don't need to do much news and stuff like that. I'm just trying to do stuff that most people don't do. So, let's see, what do we have here? All this stuff kind of goes by too fast for me. Okay, well, anyway, if you haven't yet, if you're listening to this broadcast and you haven't gone to my website at crosstheborder.org and subscribe to my blog there, please go there and subscribe to my blog. You can also click on the free ebook tab there and you can get a free copy of any of my books. Just follow the instructions there. And, let me do this. Let me go there. It's back, but easier to talk about it if I'm actually looking at it. Okay, yes, you go to the free ebook tab there, and you click on that. You follow the instructions there. It says share this page, and then request the book you want between when the third temple is built or the rapture is canceled, and I'll share those with you absolutely free. And I only ask that you go over and leave a review on Amazon. I don't have enough reviews. I need more reviews. So, and if you've already read my book and you haven't left a review yet, go to the free ebook tab, scroll down, and you'll see it says there, please leave a review. And there's a link to each book between The Rapture Will Be Canceled and When the Third Temple is Built, and go there and leave a review, please. If you've listened to me, you can leave a review because you've already heard the book. You've heard me speak it, both of the books over the, from 2014 when I wrote, when I published The Rapture Will Be Canceled to 2017 when I published When the Third Temple is Built, and now 2020, I think I'm going to be doing my final, I think it'll be my final prophecy book, and that's why, I don't know, it may even take another year to write it, but I doubt it. It's just that I have so much other work to do. I'm just, if I get to work maybe 10 hours a week on it, perhaps I'll get it done by this summer sometime. So, like I said, I do need your prayers for that, and pray for this the ministry, First Amendment Radio. That's my labor. That's like, my tent making ministry. I work hard there to keep the programming up every day and everything vital and new. So you have new programming every week, and try to get interesting hosts and programs on. And I hope everybody's taken advantage of that. You'll get a well-rounded diet of edifying, informative, news, information, Bible teaching, prophecy, financial news, and people talking about, everything from the current events. We have for you David Knight in the afternoon and overnight. The day's program put up in the afternoon there. So hope everyone's enjoying that. Still haven't got any feedback about that. So, no one's complaining anyway. So at least I guess that's a good thing. Get your Prophecy Reality News app installed on your phone. And so you can listen everywhere. The app has improved. It stays connected. It still drops sometimes. But you can choose between 32 kilobit and 64 kilobit stream on the Prophecy Reality News app, because we We stream First Amendment Radio 24/7 on there. Also available, there's a page on there for all the podcasts. So if it's not the program you want to listen to, you missed it, it'll be there in the podcast because our automation sends these things up regularly, you know, within an hour. Every program, an hour or two, every program should be up there on the podcast and updated. So you can immediately listen to, you know, when you get home from work or whatever, you can listen to whatever program played earlier in the day. You don't have to wait for it to come on the schedule again on the, you know, the audio stream schedule. You can listen to it there on the Prophecy Reality Android app. And if you have an iPhone, well, we had to let go of the app there for iPhone because I didn't want to pay the extortion fees to Apple because they, you know, I can see how they got rich and they continue to get rich. They basically extort money from app producers, and I decided I couldn't go along with it. So how you do that is you go to open up a browser on your iPhone and then go over to firstamendmentradio.net, click on the player button there. Oh no, the mobile button. That's it. You click on the mobile button there.
Go on there for all the podcasts.
And you have a stream player that comes up, and all of the podcasts are there for you. And that's all you get. But that'll work on an iPhone or any of your iProducts. And then you save that, a link to that URL on your desktop or whatever, your phone surface. And that's what I've done on mine. It works great. You know, here it is right here. And if I open up my phone, and on my surface it says Far Player. There's a little button there. It says right there, says Far Player. And if I tap on it, see, I'm going to show you how that works. And it goes right to the page. And it goes right to that first, that page I just, that mobile, Mobi, M-O-B-I page. And you can just go directly to it, firstamendmentradio.net/MOBI. And then save a link like I did on my Surface. And then anytime I press it, it opens up and it starts playing First Amendment Radio. And then there's all of the podcasts by each day. You just have to right arrow to get to the next day for the day of the week of the podcast you're looking for. So everyone can get it on your whatever product you've got and you're walking around. I mean, I remember when I was a young man, a young teenager, and I had me a pocket transistor radio. Oh, that was great when they came out with the transistor radio from Japan. And that was wonderful. You know, I could walk around with your transistor radio and listen to whatever radio station. Well, this is even better, and you can get some, you can listen to some really good stuff all day long. History, the gospel, news, financial information. It's all there for you continuously, day and night. I even have it set up so that it wakes me up in the morning. My alarm turns it on. Well, I'm out of town. Time. I'll be back for the next hour. Don't go anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News on the Hour. I'm Chad Cronin. President Trump is defending his administration's handling of the coronavirus. Fox's Rachel Sullivan reports from Washington.
House Democrats are working on a proposal that includes more funding for social safety net programs and school lunches for children and free or reduced cost testing for all Americans. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats are also
addressing the paid family and medical leave, as well as unemployment insurance.
President Trump, meeting with Republican senators, floated a payroll tax cut, paid leave for hourly workers, and help for the travel industry. There's no word yet on how much the proposals will cost. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
Presidential hopeful Joe Biden hurled insults at a union worker while speaking to auto workers inside Detroit's Fiat Chrysler plant Tuesday morning. Jerry Wayne asked Biden about the Second Amendment and accused Biden of wanting to take his guns. Wayne joined Fox and Friends to discuss.
He started making his rounds, shaking people's hands, and he made it to my way, and I stopped him. I started to ask him a question. He could have easily said, I'm not taking questions, and I would have very respectfully walked away, but he wanted to listen to my question, and I don't think that he was ready for it.
Biden scored big victories in Michigan and three other states on Tuesday, making a thunderous comeback and coming one step closer to becoming the Democratic nominee. President Donald Trump has endorsed former Auburn University football coach Tommy Tuberville in the U.S. Senate race in Alabama. Tuberville is running against Trump's former Attorney General Jeff Sessions in the March 31st Republican runoff. Trump announced his support for Tuberville in a tweet saying that Tuberville has his complete and total endorsement. He did not mention Sessions. The winner of the GOP runoff faces Democrat Doug Jones, the current incumbent, in November. Sessions held the Alabama seat safely for 20 years before stepping down to become Trump's first Attorney General. Looks like Vladimir Putin could be running Russia for many, many more years to come. Fox's Jill Nato has that story.
Russia's lower house of parliament approved a change to the country's constitution that's going to let Vladimir Putin run for president again in 2024. He was required to step down by that time at the end of his fourth term, but the change essentially lets him reset his presidential term to zero, and he could keep running right through 2036. But before any of that happens, the change has to be approved by Russia's constitutional court and by a nationwide vote in April. Critics of the change are calling for protests. Putin's dominated Russian politics for two decades, serving as president or prime minister. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Boston's first marijuana store opened this week, but not everyone sees positives. AFN's Chris Woodward reports.
There are several dozen marijuana stores in the state of Massachusetts, but the one in Boston is the first in a major East Coast city. Pure Oasis, as it is known, is also among the few retail stores in the country owned and operated by people of color, who experts say have struggled to break into the industry. Pure Oasis expects upwards of 1,000 customers a day. That translates to a lot of tax revenue that supporters of pot have long pointed to as a reason for legalization. Michael King, director of Community Alliances for Massachusetts Family Institute, sees things differently.
Certain money is just not worth taking. You know, the other side's going to have all their statistics on, you know, why this is going to give cops more time, you know, since they don't have to necessarily arrest people for marijuana use, you know, and that money can go to other places. I've definitely heard that comment. You know, you definitely hear, hey, this is going to be an influx of so much cash that we can use for education.
King says Colorado has experienced negatives after voters approved legal marijuana.
I mean, there's so many different concerns from a safety issue here. You only need to ask your local police officer what they think about this.
King is also concerned that news reports glamorize the fact that Pure Oasis is minority owned, something he says sends a message to minority communities that in order for you to be successful, you need to open a marijuana store. I'm Chris Woodward.
And that is American Family News on the Hour. I'm Chad Roney.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. My name is Nicholas, and this is a Prophecy Reality Edition. Hold on a second there. And we're going to continue what we started last, a couple weeks ago. If you go to my Prophecy Reality YouTube page or go to my website, you'll see it down there. Reform Bible and Prophecy Interpretation Part 1. Well, we're going to get around to Part 2 today. And more specifically, of Chapter 2 of my book, As It Stands Now. I'm not sure we'll get through the whole chapter in this segment. And the chapter has several segments in it. So we'll see how far we get today, if we can, in an hour or two-segment broadcast here. And the name of this chapter, as it stands now, is Apocalyptic Terms and Divine Interpretation. And I can even put it on the screen here. My nose itches. And as you can see it there, many expositors claim to interpret Scripture by Scripture, and it is true that Scripture should be interpreted by Scripture. Apocalyptic terms, symbols, should be defined by Scripture explicitly with one or two witnesses. Interpretation by conjecture should always be suspect and never relied upon for a definite determination or to become dogmatic. We should always look first in the immediate text, the same chapter, or the same book, before we look elsewhere in the Scripture. Similar texts are available in the prophecies of Daniel, so it would be the next resource for divine interpretation of symbols. As well as there are many prophetic texts scattered throughout the Old and New Testaments. Divine interpretation refers to those apocalyptic terms and symbols which are interpreted explicitly in the text of Scripture itself. Every expositor should start at this point with that which is sure, which interpretations God has given to us in the text of prophecy itself. First, we're going to look at the beast symbol. The word beast is used as an apocalyptic symbol 6 times in Daniel chapter 7, then found 37 times in the Revelation chapters 11 through 20. This is a very important symbol to understanding the Revelation. Daniel 7 describes 4 great beasts came up from the sea with different characteristics, the fourth of which had 10 horns. It is the same that is described in the Revelation coming up out of the sea, whereas John has not interpreted the symbol to us in the text of the Revelation, that is. Daniel explicitly defines the symbol for us at Daniel 7:23. Thus said he, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. Okay? Now I know when I see that the word beast being used symbolically, that we are talking about a prominent kingdom or ruling power in the earth. It would be a mistake to apply the term to a singular individual when the term is used apocalyptically. Also ask, in what way was the fourth beast different or diverse? The text does not tell us. We learn later that it had 7 heads. And actually, the text does give us a clue in that it shall devour the whole earth. So perhaps the 7 heads are a clue to its devouring the whole earth. The Scripture explicitly names 4 of the beast powers thus. Daniel 7 opens in the first year of Belshazzar, King Babylon, with the revelation of 4 beast powers being introduced: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Chapter 8 opens in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. In this chapter, the symbol beast is not explicitly used, but two of the kingdoms explicitly named are rather described as different beasts, or animals, if you prefer. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. For confirmation of our thesis here, we also refer to Daniel chapter 2, which outlines the same four dominating powers as those referenced as the four beasts of chapters 7 and 8, which reign until Christ sets up his kingdom, however exposes successive parts of the same image instead, also followed by an even more succinct divine interpretation in the text itself. And I quote Daniel 2:38-45, "Thou, Babylon, art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, shall devour the whole earth, subdueth all things, and the iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall be left, it shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king, that is the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall come to pass hereafter." And I love this part. "And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." That's what you call a divine interpretation to prophecy, to apocalyptic symbology. And as it stated, it is certain and it is sure. We can count on that. Now we'll discuss the horn symbol upon a beast. Daniel 8:20 also gives us some insight into the horn symbol as an attribute when they appear on a beast's power. We notice that the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, indicates an obvious division of power within a beast. Verse 21, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king," indicates the singular power of Alexander the Great when Greece conquered and assimilated the two sea beast powers, Babylon and Medo-Persia, that fell before it. In the next verse, "Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." Daniel 8:22 indicates that when Alexander suddenly died, Greece was divided between four of his generals. This is the famous and well-known history that followed the prophecy. We notice that the four sea beasts of Daniel 7, the dragon of Revelation 12, and the sea beast of Revelation 13 all have 10 horns. By all of the commonalities present, it is reliably held that these are all one and the same beast power as it appears at different intervals in history. The seven heads being omitted from the Daniel description may be an indicator of this thesis, or depending on the meaning attached to the apocalyptic heads, it may be nothing other than a simple omission. We'll discuss more about that later. Now we jump to the crown symbol upon a beast, because we have the ten-horned, seven-headed beast, and it has crowns on its heads. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. This is Revelation 12:3. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. At the time of the fall of pagan Rome, here represented by the ten-horned beast appearing as a red dragon, was celebrated in Roman history when Christianity was elevated to the state religion by the coinage impressed with the state standard over the dragon. And it moves too fast here. Almost lost my place. There we go. And here we have a coin from that era. Constantine Augustus. Okay, on one side of the coin, supposed to be Constantine there. And then we have here the Roman standard over the dragon, because Constantine, of course, conquer in this symbol, the symbol of the cross. And so we have the Roman standard there, and anyway, over the dragon, represented by a serpent here on the coin. Very interesting. And you can read all about all that history if you go to horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com and bring up the and look for the chapter on the era of Constantine. And there's a lot more proofs to what we're talking about there than one. Okay, the ten horns representing the division of the kingdom upon the invasion of the barbarous nations from the north. We have the testimony of Irenaeus from the second century that this was the understanding of the prophecy even before it happened. Quote, I have observed on the apostle's statement that the Thessalonian Christians knew what the hindrance was that prevented the development of this man of sin. And we have the consenting testimony of the early fathers from Irenaeus, the disciple of St. John, down to Chrysostom and Jerome, to the effect that it was understood to be the imperial power ruling and residing at Rome that was preventing the Antichrist from being revealed. Okay? These crowns upon the heads of the beast, rather than on the horns, the horn divisions, indicates that power was centralized in Rome, concurrent with the 1260 years of the papal man of sin dominancy. This would concur with the little horn of Daniel, where the three of the ten horns were broken off, also leaving the remaining horns vested in the little horn power. Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Following, and this is where we're at now, following the 1260-year overt reign, papal reign of Western Europe, the crowns moved to the several divisions represented by the ten horns. This is the present condition of Western Europe in apocalyptic terms, so that it can assume its final status before the consummation. Because remember, the beast, at this point, with the crowns on the horns, turns on the whore and destroys her finally. That hasn't happened yet. Some people believe that it has, but no, I believe it was wounded, as it were, to death, but that the wound has been healed. That's what's already happened in history. Not her total annihilation and destruction hasn't happened yet, because I'll tell you what, the whore is alive and well, and she is riding upon the beast, even though the crowns are on the beast, But the beast is going to turn at this era on her before the consummation, probably pretty much closer to the consummation than we are now. So look for that sometime. Oh, you know, it means things are going to have to change a lot, but things do change radically, sometimes very fast. And since we have, it could be up to 40 years, 35, 40 years before the seventh millennium, we can see that the whore is going to gain even more power, become maybe she's going to have to become so vile to even the 10 horn powers with the crowns that they're going to turn on her and destroy her before Christ returns. That's something that has not happened yet, and that is foretold to happen. But it's at this era that we're in right now where the crowns are upon the horns. Okay? So following the 1260-year overt reign of Western Europe, the crowns moved to the several divisions represented by the 10 horns. This is the present condition of Western Europe in apocalyptic terms, so that it can assume its final status before the consummation, which requires its affiliation with the two-horned earth beast and the image it creates, as outlined in chapter 13. The seven kings and several observations on their relation to the sea beast. Revelation 17:8. The sea beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And I should probably wait on this. Let's see how much time do we got. Oh, I've got quite a bit of time left. Let me check the chat room here for questions, comments, and see if we got anything coming up. Okay, no comments or questions. Hope everybody's enjoying this little exposition. But if you have comments, questions afterwards, you want to email to me. If you think there's something I need to clarify, because remember, I am writing this book, and this is my draft of chapter 2 as it stands thus far. If you think something needs to be clarified, added, looked at differently, I certainly would appreciate your input. So you can email me at, it's me@nicholasarthur.info. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. There's a contact page there with my email. Or after, when I post this video, you can post it on the page where the video is. Don't post it on a different page. In that case, just go ahead and email by me, but wait for it to get posted there, which will be sometime today or tomorrow or something. I'll try to get it up there as quickly as I can. And would appreciate anyone listening to this video, comments, questions, clarifications, problems you see, something that's not quite clear. Because I want to make this book really good, and I want to look into every comment, question, clarify anything, and consider any alternative to the things that I'm trying to expose here. Because, you know, really what I want is a Holy Ghost interpretation. Isn't that what we all want? So that's what I'm after, and that's why I've spent now 15 years intensively studying Bible prophecy. So, WW, thank you for that. He says, good stuff. Okay, so I guess I'll keep it up. Let me see here. I'll get back to it then. Bring my text back up here. See where I'm at. Crazy how my nose starts to itch. Okay. Anyway, so our next section here that I'm looking at, let's see, where's, oh yeah, the seven kings, and yes, this should be, that should be bold there. I need to correct that because it is a section. The seven kings and the several observations on their relation to the beast. And this is something that's kind of groundbreaking for me because I haven't read this anywhere else, and it's contrary to almost everything that everyone else has written out there. And the observation is, you know, it's so simple. The observation that makes the difference is so simple that surely, you know, someone else must have seen it. But I'll point that observation out to you. Let's see, 26. Well, I've got 2 minutes before I go into a break. Do I really want to jump into it? Maybe I'll just hold it for the other side of the break. And we'll start that then. And what shall I do until then? Well, maybe I'll take the break early. That's a good idea. Okay, we're going to take our break now, and we'll come back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Whoops. It's fun being your own producer here.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them
as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're going through apocalyptic terms and divine interpretation, and we're continuing in that train of thought here. We talked about the beasts, the horns, the heads, and we're talking about the heads right now, and following the 1260-year overt papal reign of Western Europe, the crowns move to the several divisions represented by the ten horns. This is the present condition of Western Europe in apocalyptic terms, so that it can assume its final status before the consummation, which we discussed in our last segment, which requires its affiliation with the two-horned earth beast and the image it creates as outlined in chapter 13. The seven kings and several observations on their relation to the sea beast. In Revelation 17:8, we read, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." There's a definite succession there for this beast. It ends up, it goes to perdition. So this fourth beast that we're talking about, it survives until Christ returns. It survives until the consummation, where it is committed to perdition. And continuing in verse 8 here, "And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Now this is this apocalyptic language, what does this mean? That was, is not, and yet is. How can something be, how can something survive? What is this terminology telling us about this beast power? Now, if you tell most people that this fourth beast, Roman Empire, identified definitely, without a doubt, in the scripture and throughout history, as the fourth beast, this beast, okay? We know it was, definitely. Now, the world, the way the world teaches it, the Roman Empire ended about the 5th century. Yeah, about the 6th century, somewhere around there. It ended when the barbarians came in, sacked Rome, and divided up the kingdom. Well, we know that that's the same beast power. It only went from, it transitioned from that which was withholding the revealing of the man of sin, to the ten horn being revealed upon the beast, being divided into ten, and the man of sin being revealed, then reigning for 1260 years. So we know it was, but it says it and is not, yet is. Like I said, most people will tell you that the Roman Empire was conquered at that time when the Bible says that the ten horns sprang up and the Antichrist. That's where history ends for most people. So they don't see it. They don't see Rome in the way that the scripture tells us that it would rule the world from that time until the consummation. But as it was from that time, from the time that the world says the Roman Empire fell, they're only talking about the pagan Roman Empire, even as it was under Constantine. It was a pagan Roman Christian empire, basically. But it fell. Okay? So they say it was. They don't, and is not. The Bible says, and yet is. Okay? And it tells us exactly, if you go back to Daniel chapter 2, and you look at the Nebuchadnezzar dream that he had of the Mystery Babylon image. And that's where it gets its other name, Mystery Babylon the Great, in the Revelation. It points us right back to that image. And this whole, how it appears in the legs and feet and ten toes of iron. The legs were iron, but the feet and the ten toes are iron mixed with clay. So, and I think the feet and the ten toes represent the ten horns. And the era of the iron being mixed with the clay, I believe, is the Christian era. Because we are the clay. He is the potter, we are the clay. It's miry clay. Miry clay is wet. Miry clay is what I have where I live. And if it's wet and raining outside, and we've had a rainy season, if you drive off the road, you're going to get stuck in that miry muck. And you will not get out unless someone pulls you out. That's miry clay. It's wet. It's moldable. Okay? So that's where we're at. And that's the and is not yet is. Okay? Because it doesn't appear as it was when it was one solid, you know, iron, even when it was divided into East and West Kingdom, as some people might believe, and which it was. But they might believe that's an interpretation. Okay, verse 9. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, one interpretation is this is the seven hills of Rome. But I'm not too sure about that. What are these heads? Well, the heads are a ruling power in a beast. The beast, most of the other beasts only had one head. This beast has seven heads. Where did it get these heads? Well, I believe it got six of its heads from the other beasts that it conquered. Now it's a seven-headed beast. It amalgamated. That's my belief. And I believe the scripture supports this, and I'm going to show you why in the next couple verses here. So let's read the whole verses 17, 8 through 11. Revelation 17, 8 through 11. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell near shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now here's the key. The key comes in the next verse. This is what most people do not see. What all of the other expositors, with all of their interpretations of this scripture, did not catch. They seem to overlook it. Verse 11, and the beast that was, did you get that? And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Okay, there are seven beasts or seven heads. Okay? Each beast had its own head. However, the sixth beast, okay, the one concurrent with John, it had seven heads. So it had all of the heads of the beasts that were before it, the six before it, the five are fallen, and one is, okay, and the other is not yet come. That's where the seventh head comes in. The other is not yet come. He gets all of the heads, his own inclusive. Okay? So, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. And what this verse also does, it defines the seven heads. It defines what they are. The five are fallen, one is the kings. And the word there is Basileus, okay, for kings. And for beast, it's Therion. But in this scripture, the Basileus is a ruling power, here being expressed as kings. And they can be kings, they could be presidents, whatever. But they basically, he's defining what the seven kings are, is, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven. So one of the seven is a beast, because he's the eighth, but he's one of the seven. He's number six, actually, the one concurrent with John, is the eighth. So there's only really seven, but one reasserts itself and is the eighth. Okay? And that's the key to the whole thing, is these aren't different ruling powers within the same beast. Like someone said, it might be, you know, counselors, whatever, within the Roman Empire, different divisions or different ruling administrations within the same beast. It's not that. Because right there, they have to be a beast. And a beast is well defined. We'll move on here. And so I write, if taken as verse 10, and they are, meaning that the seven heads, verse 9, are the seven kings, a double meaning could result. And one, the previously described seven famed seven hills of Rome on which the woman sitteth, and the other as follows, or both may be allowed by the text and the original language. It is true that the beast does in time come to dominate all of the seven beast power localities. Okay? This beast that we're speaking of, it does in time come to dominate all of the seven beast power localities. So that's where it gets its seven heads. Having to do with Israel and the church, Egypt through the chapter 13 earth beast, its own inclusive, before it goes to perdition. However, the fact that it seems to originate with all seven heads and does not begin with six inclusive and gain the seventh later serves to create doubt about the double meaning. Perhaps we should consider that the beast appeared with ten horns, which did not come into power until the Caesars fell and the man of sin rose up. However, we have no other multi-headed beast with which to compare it. And that's one of the things that makes it diverse from the other powers. So we have no other multi-headed beast with which to compare. So may only speculate upon the seven hills being synonymous with the seven-hilled city. So we can throw that out. It's not important anyway. It makes no difference because the scripture explicitly tells us that the seven kings are beast power by telling us that the eighth beast is the eighth king and one of the seven, which makes them all beast powers. Two of them being the same one, that is the eighth and the one which it is of the seven. I hope I'm not losing anybody here. Gets a little complicated, but if you read through it 10 times and try to understand it, it perhaps makes sense to you. But it's kind of like it's in a riddle form here. And I mean, definitely is in a riddle form when you read chapter 17, 8 through 11. There's a riddle there, but the answer is in the riddle itself. It's all there for you. You just have to, you know, wrap your mind around it, I guess. Wrap your head around it, as they say. So the meaning in this is easily seen insofar as the symbol itself is concerned, by reference to the statement so emphatically made and repeated respecting the beast when exhibited in the vision of chapter 13, that one of its heads appeared to have been wounded, as it were, to death. And that would be the Roman head, okay? The head that was wounded, as it were, to death would be the ruling power of the beast from Rome. It would be that dominant head at the time, as it were, to death by a sword, but that his deadly wound was healed. So he regains his power at the end before Christ returns. But before that, before Christ returns, the 10 crowned horns turn on him, turn on the head, and annihilate it. Boy, that's going to be something to see. I want to stick around for that. Okay. Everybody with me so far? It seems a little complicated, but it isn't that complicated. You're going to want to get my book. But all this is already, a lot of this is already expressed in my writings and prophecy shows that I've done so far, but I'm trying to get it as succinct and defined as possible in this final prophecy book that I'm writing here, because I believe that God wants me to move on. Yeah. Well, I'll always talk about prophecy. It's always going to be part of the gospel message and expounding upon God's word, because you can't separate it. But I don't believe it's going to be so much a focus by the time I get done with this book. At least not for me. I have to go where the Spirit leads anyway. So the meaning is clearly seen. I didn't finish that sentence yet. Okay. When exhibited in the vision of chapter 13, that one of his heads appeared to have been wounded, as it were, to death by a sword, but that this deadly wound was healed. The healing of this purportedly dead head wound would account for the seeming disappearance, was and is not, of the Roman or papal headship of the beast, and the intermediate appearance, then dominance, of the seventh king beast of verse 10, which, listen to this, which must be the same as the chapter 13 earth beast, because it being the only mention of an additional beast power. So it must be the seventh. The scripture proclaims it. There's no other alternative. The earth beast is the seventh, because the scripture, it is the only other beast power introduced in the entire scripture that rises up after the sixth power, contemporary with John. But then it will assert itself. Okay? It's all very interesting and very exacting when you understand what's being said and you look around and you go, yes, this is it. This is what's going on. I have reality, history playing out before me. I have the last couple hundred years of history to verify what the scripture is saying exactly, succinctly. So it's the only mention of an additional beast power, so much must be the seventh of the 17 passage, chapter 17 passage, which comes alongside and helps the wounded beast's head healing and its reappearance as the eighth, one of the seven. It being enumerated as the eighth also indicates that it does not look or operate as it used to during its overt rule, but somehow rules stealthily, was and is not, yet is. That is the picture of stealth. Perhaps in the shadows, the well-known term shadow government comes to mind here. And I've talked about this plenty, how the shadow government works for the Antichrist. And I believe we have 500 years of history that absolutely points to the development of the shadow government that works now in the world, controlling just about everything, only using several layers, maybe three, four, even five, up to five, six, seven layers of plausible deniability. But it is there. And if you dig deep, sometimes it's right on the surface, but people still don't see it. Because it was, it is not, yet is. Shh, don't tell anyone. It's like an open secret. So with the development of history and our present state of world powers, it has become apparent that the only indispensable meaning suitable of the seven heads, verse 9, would include the representation of all of the seven beast power localities. This final head would come, the beast and the final head would come to dominate over its life before going into perdition. The previous speculations must ignore the text identification in verse 11 of the eighth king, Basileus in the Greek, as a beast, Therion. Therefore, not merely a type or style of governing in the selfsame Roman beast power, as many have speculated, especially the preterists. They love that one because they can get it all over in 70 AD. And I believe that's where that interpretation came from. Decemvirs and emperors, and again, they named all of these types of ruling powers within the Roman Empire before it fell, or before 70 AD even, because they have to get it back there. And some people, even historicists, have carried this interpretation over, but I think it's clear that it is absolutely wrong, and that what I'm proposing to you, unless someone can show me from the scripture otherwise, I believe this pretty much nails the interpretation, if you're with me so far. So, yes, especially the preterists. Verses 10 and 11 are rather an enumeration and recapitulation of individual dominating beast or therion powers, of which the eighth cannot be the seventh, as some have speculated. The chapter 13 earth beast, okay? And that's what some people said, that the Roman Empire changes or it divides into, but no, a beast. Every beast power, when it rises up, is an original power in the earth. It may assimilate the powers before it, but it never divides unless it's divided, as the scripture says it has been, with the iron and the clay. Okay, that's why we see this breaking up of world powers, because this beast is broken up. And it's never going to become solid iron again, as it was before the fall of pagan Rome. That's why I'm all for like six Californias and breaking up the EU. I go, yeah, that's what the Bible says was going to happen. They try to amalgamate and make everything solid iron, but you know, and it's the two horned earth beasts of chapter 13. Those two horns are never going to become the same. It's never going to become one horn. It's never going to solidify. It's always going to be this struggle between the lamb-like qualities and the dragon-speaking qualities of this beast. And I say, yay. It's good to know that the scripture never allows it to one horn to the dragon horn to overpower, but they remain the same as equals until Christ returns. That's good news. So, let us examine what the scripture does disclose about these beast powers. 1. Rome, the Revelation 13 sea beast, is described as having leopard, bear, and lion features. These features, being those of the three Daniel 7 beasts that preceded in succession were conquered by it. This would account for the four of the seven king beasts. 2. Revelation 17:11 enumerates seven beast powers total in succession, with the one reasserting itself at the end being numbered as the eighth, one of the seven. 3. The sixth being contemporary with John necessitates reaching back in history of Daniel and Israel for previous five world or Israel dominating ruling powers, of which the only three immediately previous are explicitly named as beasts in Daniel 7. We must intently examine the shared attributes of the four explicitly named sea beast powers, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, before we can determine who the remaining three or unnamed beast powers are. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to save this section here for next time, since we're coming on the end of the hour. So when we get back, we'll examine what the scripture does disclose about these beast powers, as if we haven't received enough information yet. There is more to solidify our position as Protestant Reformed historicists. Okay, you've been listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy, Reality. I'm Nicholas, and I want to thank you all for listening and joining in the broadcast. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. Yes, keep your eye on the prize. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, more important.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media Channel. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary, on a continual basis. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs on our Listen and Schedule pages. Then when you subscribe, we will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We ask you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program, host, or cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.